The readings are taken from Psalm 98. The song Joy to the World is the song of faith for today. The message is about the joy of Jesus. And this may be found on the screen or in your Bible. I don't have the page number, but...
Oh, anyway. It's on the screen. It's in
it's
the
It's on
bulletin.
The screen. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In our summer song series, we've touched on many of those favorite and popular hymns of the church. We've covered everything from Amazing Grace to How Great Thou Art to Beautiful Savior. We've touched on A Mighty Fortress and even spent time on a more contemporary song that's touched many lives, Morning Cry. But something all summer long has been missing, right? There's some favorite songs that we haven't even touched on. So that's why we're going to talk about and celebrate. We sing a couple of them. We'll sing another one. Christmas. Christmas in August. Who would have thought about that? So, Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
There we go. I like that. And our song today is Joy to the World. That's what it's about. We'll sing that a little bit later on, and let's sing it with gusto when we sing that one. But for now, let's focus on what the song is about, and that is about joy. The songwriter of this hymn was Isaac Watts, who wrote the lyrics. He was a prolific hymn writer from the 18th century. He wrote a whole book of poems based on the Psalms. And what he did then was take those Old Testament psalms, which were the hymni of the day way back when, and he looked at them from the perspective of the New Testament as they spoke about Jesus. And so many of Watts' poems became songs or hymns themselves. Psalm 98, which is a psalm of praise, is a basis for our hymn today, Joy to the World. And so we give thanks to Isaac Watts and the inspiration that he shares with us as we focus on the joy of Jesus as Lord of Lords and King of Kings and bringer of salvation. Since we're focusing upon Christmas, the first joy that we have is that joy of Jesus is coming. The season of Advent, which is right before Christmas, is a season that prepares our hearts and our minds and our lives to get ready for, to prepare for Jesus' birth. Jesus is coming at Christmas. It's a time of anticipation for something wonderful to take place. You know, there are only 136 days left until Christmas. Did you know that? I know the children have been counting that. I guarantee you that. There was a family during the Great Depression, and if you don't know what that is, a terrible time when there wasn't a lot of money and a lot of things. You just had to do without because a lot of it because of the war. And so it was a time when, people had to scrape and save and do everything. And so one day, there was a family, and the news came that a circus was coming to town. Tickets cost a dollar. Now, a dollar to us doesn't mean anything, but back then, a dollar was a lot of money. And the little boy came running home excited and eager to get the money from his dad. The father said, "Sorry, I can't provide you that much money. I just don't have it. But if you'll go out and you'll do some odd jobs, maybe you can earn enough to purchase a ticket on your own." And the dad said, "Whatever you make, I will match it." Well, that gave the boy enough incentive. And he worked feverishly and hard. And a few days before the circus came to town, he found out he had just enough with what his father could match to go off and to buy a ticket, and he did. So the day the circus came to town, he grabbed his ticket, he rushed down into Main Street where he stood on the curb as the circus parade went by. He was thrilled to watch the clowns and the elephants and all the performers. A clown came dancing over to him, and the boy put his ticket in the clown's hand. He eagerly watched as the rest of the parade went by. And after the parade, the boy returned home and told his father that he had been to the circus and how much fun it was. The dad was kind of scratching his head and said, "You're home already from the circus? Describe the circus to me." And the boy told of the parade that went down the main street and giving his ticket to the clown. The father sadly took his son in his arms and said, "Son, you didn't see the circus. All you saw was the parade." We anticipate Christmas with that same kind of joy, just like the boy did the circus there. Problem is, we often get caught up in all the carols and the trees and the lights and the gifts that we think that we're experiencing what Christmas is all about. Folks, that's just the parade. The main event is God coming in the flesh, in the person of Jesus, to bring hope to a hopeless world. And Joy to the World shares, "The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King." Luke 2:10 shares that joy when it tells us the story of Jesus' birth. So the angel came to the shepherds and said, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which will come to all people." And when that announcement was made by the angel, no one could have prepared those shepherds for what happened next. The skies filled with angels and the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased." The joy of Jesus coming into this world. The next two stanzas of Joy to the World point out the joy of Jesus' work, which is our second point for today. And by work, I mean the why Jesus came to the earth and the what that Jesus came to do. In Psalm 98, verses 2 and 3, share the why and the what. Says this, "The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel." Jesus' purpose was to come and to save lost sinners, to offer that gift of forgiveness of our sins, to transform our lives here and now, and to give us that hope that we hold on to dearly, of that promise of eternal life when we die. That third stanza speaks about Jesus' work in our world. It says, "No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found." Far as the curse is found. That one really hit home for me. Over the course of these last couple of days, Thursday and Friday, several times among the various speakers at the Global Leadership Summit, reference Jesus' work, the why of Jesus' coming to touch our lives, was so that he could, again, save lost sinners. You know, Jesus himself in the scriptures and the gospel was often accused of, you know, hanging out with the wrong crowd by the supposedly good guys, right? And they would say, why are you eating with tax collectors and sinners? If you really are the Messiah, you should be hanging out with us. But here's how Jesus responded to those complaints in Mark 2:17. He said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came to call not the righteous, but sinners. And truth be told, we're all sinners. Some of us just don't know it yet. I read a letter recently about a man who went to prison at a young age. He's still serving time. But he shared that he had hung out with the wrong crowd, and now he is paying severely for the choices that he made in his younger years of his life. And while in prison, he got into more trouble and was put into solitary confinement. He had gotten to the end of his rope. There was no hope left for him. He was ready to end it all, and he had the means to do it. And at that moment, he shares in that letter that he felt the presence of a spirit so evil and so dark that it just filled his cell. His chest felt heavy. His breathing was short. And every time he looked up, he could feel hell waiting, a free invitation. He was at that deepest, darkest moment, right on the verge of taking that final step when he broke down in tears. And he called out to God, saying, God, I'm sorry for everything I've ever done and anybody I've ever hurt. Please forgive me, he said. The letter went on to say that immediately that evil spirit was gone and he could breathe again. Folks, this is exactly who Jesus came for, so that lost sinners could be redeemed and know the joy of Jesus' work of salvation. This man's life was transformed by the power of Jesus' love. And while in prison, he's now helping others, praying for them and pointing them to Christ. What a great turnaround. It was Martin Luther himself who said, we are all mere beggars, showing other beggars where to find the bread. And folks, that bread is Jesus, who is the bread of life. John 6:35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Every one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if we spend more time investing in people's lives instead of comparing ourselves to them, then this good news could be heard around the world. And we could all rejoice with exceeding joy because of Jesus' work. As we celebrate Jesus' coming, Jesus' work to save lost sinners, the ultimate joy then comes for us as we look forward to the joy of Jesus' return. Psalm 98 concludes with these words, verses 8 and 9. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. The Bible, as we know, talks in several places about Judgment Day. And it sounds a bit scary, doesn't it? Knowing that each of us is going to stand before Almighty God And God's going to do a review of our lives. And I don't know about you, but I don't stand a chance. I mean, I'm no saint, just ask my dear wife. But if it were all on our shoulders, we'd all be going to hell. Because not a one of us can stand before God and claim to be innocent. We all justly deserve to be punished for our sin. But here's the good news. Thanks be to God the Father Almighty for sending His only begotten Son, Jesus, into this sinful, broken world. And you know, as Christians, this is one thing that we can all agree on above all else. One thing that is so central to our faith, that Jesus suffered, died, and rose again. Jesus essentially took our place. We deserve to be on that cross, not Him. But Jesus took the punishment for our sin, for David's sin, for Mark's sin, for Jan's sin, for Robert's sin, for Frank's sin, for Steve's sin. He took all of our sin upon Himself. And it broke Him. Jesus took on the full wrath of God's punishment that you and I deserve. And it killed Him. He died so that you and I wouldn't have to spend eternity in hell. And yeah, the devil thought, man, I've won. Jesus is dead. He's gone. And as horrible as Jesus' death was, His resurrection was that much more victorious. 1 Corinthians 15:55 proclaims, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is. There's the joy. There's the good news. Jesus has already secured the victory over sin, death, and the devil. Yeah, the battles still rage. But we've read the end of the book, folks. We know how the story ends. And so praise be to God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, for granting us the hope that we need to keep plugging on, to keep the faith, to keep planting those seeds for others, and to make an impact on people's lives. You know, as I think about joy, and we think about all these favorite songs, there's a song, I think it's an old Sunday school song, and we'll put it up on the screen and you can sing with me, but it talks about joy. Joy because the King is in residence in our hearts and in our lives. I think you're going to know this one, so. Joy is the flag flown high from the castle in my heart, from the castle in my heart, from the castle in my heart. Joy is the flag flown high from the castle in my heart, when the King is in residence there. So let it fly in the sky, let the whole world know, let the whole world know, let the whole world know. Oh, let it fly in the sky, let the whole world know that the King is in residence there. Let the joy of Jesus fill your hearts this day and every day. Amen.